This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hi, everybody. Becky here. We have an exciting new episode for you featuring some of our favorite friends of the pod. In this episode, we chat about breastfeeding and touch on topics like undersupply and oversupply, postpartum depression and anxiety, birth trauma, and motherhood in general. If you're sensitive to any of those topics, please listen with care. And if you need to skip this one, we love you and we'll see you next week.
Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I am one of your hosts, Becky, and I'm joined by three very special guests today. We have Sarah, you know and love. She's been on the pod before.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, we've got Rachel.
Hi.
Our sweet angel. And we've got Joey. It's her first time on the pod, but
What?
Did skydiving with the Tri Mom. She did sexy photo shoots. You've seen her in the breastfeeding video.
Mm-hmm.
She is all over the place, baby. And of course, we've got our Rainy on the ones and twos.
Hello.
Guys, we have a really special episode for you today because you got the mommies.
Hi, mommy.
Hi, mommy.
Hi, mommy.
Hey, mommy.
I'm still like, who?
Hi, mommy.
Okay. Our moms are coming on.
Mom. Yeah. Mom. Me?
That's my kid's thing.
Joey's got the oldest children among us. Why doesn't everyone go around, say a little dash about yourself, a little dash about your kids, and then we'll get into the meat and potatoes of what this episode is about.
We really divided the room between one kid's two kids.
Yes. Oh.
Babies and teenagers, truly.
Yeah. So we'll go with, I would say, the most famous twins on the internet, other than the Olsen twins.
Dude. Here's all I'll say about June and Poppy is a friend of ours' wife is a labor and delivery nurse. And a month ago, she delivered two twin girls named June and Poppy. And I want to call that out. Hashtag influenced. What?
They're trendsetters.
Apparently.
They're trendsetters.
June and Poppy are 4 years old, going on 13. My name's Rachel. You know me.
Love.
And I'm Joey. I'm an autistic chief marketing officer and mom of two kiddos. I have a 5-year-old named Fox and a 2-year-old named Romilly. And Rachel and I are convinced that Fox and June and Poppy are going to be very, very best friends. And so they're going to have dinner tonight.
100%.
They are having dinner tonight. They're the same age. They're going into the same class, kindergarten. I don't know what that is. Class of 2040 or something. Who knows? We're going to turn them into BFFs. We've already greenlit the ice cream after dinner to further convince them.
To seal the deal.
Can you greenlight my ice cream after dinner as well?
Where are you doing it? 4:45 p.m.
Girl, nothing. Henry and I will be there. We're in.
No, tacos and ice cream.
Love tacos and ice cream. And last, but certainly not least, our sweet, sweet Sarah Bonsignore.
Wait, I just introduced myself.
Wait, how old is your kiddo?
How old is your kiddo? Fun fact about your kiddo.
Great. I have a son named Julian, and he is one. He's just over one. And you guys, he's wild. He's in the 98th percentile. He's massive. I pick up other babies, and I think, this is... so light. I'm gonna hit the ceiling. He's huge and walking and wild and very cute and silly and is a giggle monster. And someone that babysits a friend of mine, Julian, sometimes, and babysitted another friend of ours, said, you have it harder. Because he is
now
everywhere.
In my head, I'm like, it's Catherine.
Yeah.
We got a babysitter recommendation from Miles and Sarah.
It's another friend. I give her to everyone. But she was like, he's everywhere. I was like, I know. But he's wild and wonderful. And
he's sweet. He's very so sweet.
He's very sweet. He's very sweet. But yeah. And
Angel. And then if for some reason you're listening to this podcast and it's the first time you've ever listened to You Can Sit With Us or heard of the Try Guys.
Who's Becky?
I'm Becky. And I have a 7-month-old son named Henry who was 2 months premature. So developmentally, we're rocking around 5 months. But the reason I wanted to assemble these mommies and these specific mommies with me are you guys are some of the mommies that I lean on quite heavily. I text you all the time. I'm like, what do I do? What are your opinions? All of this. And you have been with me through my journeys with Henny. And one beautiful journey that just, I feel like that's how they always talk about it. A beautiful journey between mother and child that just ended for us was breastfeeding. And, you know, they just did the breastfeeding video with the Try Guys, and we felt like there was just a little bit missing from that because there's so much the experience of breastfeeding. Like, the video was very good, I think, at showing people the mechanics of breastfeeding and pumping, but there's so much more that couldn't be contained in, you know, a 20-minute video. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd gather my favorite mommies, and we all have a pretty diverse experience with feeding our babies. So I thought we could just have a mom chat. Normalize moms talking.
I mean, a good point that Sarah brought up right before this started was like a lot of times people don't say the thoughts they're having. And then when you finally do and you're like, God, I fucking hate this. Everyone's like, oh yeah, me too. And you're like, well, then why weren't you saying that to me? I'm just over here suffering alone.
Completely. So that's why I talk all the time about real feelings. And look, once in a while, people are like, that's crazy. And I'm like,
okay,
well, I'm,
fair enough.
Okay, I missed it. But most of the time, I feel like people are like, I relate and I have that experience. So it's like, and I think like too, so this great thing about like female rage and stuff, I feel like we're taught and raised to be so polite all of our life. And that comes into motherhood. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just going to be my honest self. And, like, if I get, like, trashed, I know, and the way here, I was like, am I going to be as honest as I feel? Because, like, you risk people being like, actually, that's not, I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know?
Rage is the right word, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every single day, there's another thing. I'm like, why did nobody tell me this is so bad about parenting?
Yeah, it's so hard. And I think I just thought that when I became a mom, I'd be like, and then I'd be like a mom, you know, like I'd be like doing my life and I didn't know. I'd be like, I'm a mom, you know, and it's like these two images and you have both. But I think for breastfeeding, I was like, oh, it's going to be this beautiful thing. And I remember in college, oh, I have this memory. Oh, it's so hard. I was, you know, big women's studies major, and, you know, and so I was really like in the feminist movement in college and more militant than I am now probably. But I remember I was babysitting at the time and I was like, breastfeeding is so important and da-da-da-da. And I was, what, 21? And the mom I was breastfeeding, she like couldn't. And I remember now, I like, now it hits me like, oh my God. I was like, well, it's actually really important. Like, oh my God.
The mom you were babysitting for?
I was babysitting their like kid. And I'm sure she must have been like, go to hell. You know, she's, if you're out there, I'm really sorry. But I was
listening right now. She's like, she's followed you waiting for this apology. That would be my petty self. I would like be like 10 years later.
Yeah. She's clipping it, preparing the green screen on top.
She's got the red lines. She's coming for you.
Yeah. But in that feminist movement, it was more like we're working, we're doing, and then plus like being natural. And what happened to me is like I got bonkers like you've never seen. Like they were, I would have my friends come over and I was such a mess. I made them hold them. That's disturbing. My friends were traumatized.
Your boobs.
Her boobs.
Your bazoombas.
They
were bazoombas.
You guys.
They were bazoombaing.
I was like, it was so like much for me and it was so hard.
Were you?
I hated it.
Yeah. Prepared for your body to change in that way? Because of course the belly, we all know.
No. Yeah. I mean, I put on like 80 pounds. So, like, it was, like, an out-of-body experience, you know, like, just being that. But I kind of thought it'd be funny because I have big boobs, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand also waking up and then being so heavy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, almost, like, them making me fall. I felt like It was hard.
It's like you're carrying weights on top of you. And mine did not get as big as yours got. But my boobs got pretty big. And I used to tell people with Henny, it was like putting a bowling ball on a golf ball. Like, I was straight. Yeah, exactly. I was waterboarding and suffocating him at the same time.
Because he was so tiny.
And then the bending over and holding your boob up and moving it around and getting it in the right spot. It was so stressful. I remember one time being at your house and being like, we had never really talked about it, but like under my breath, I was like, do you like this? Like, do you like this? Oh. And we were both like,
no.
I was like, I don't. And there's this like huge pressure from society to be like, you'll love it. You're going to love breastfeeding. It's the way that you bond with your baby. And if you don't do it, you're not bonding. And it's this all this
because
extra pressure.
Because once again, women's bodies are for controlling.
Yes.
Yeah. But is that the primary message that you got? I feel like I had a totally opposite experience because of the messages my mom gave me. So you felt like going into breastfeeding or having a child that like the primary message is breastfeeding is beautiful.
Yes.
Like, and like you're connecting.
And I almost like a couple of my peers who were lovely and trying to help, but they were like, don't give up. It's going to get better. You can like anytime they're upset, you can. And I saw that for them, but I was like, it felt made me more upset because I was like, I'm not doing this as exhausting. And when I went to the pediatrician at 2 months, she's like, it's a slight benefit. And I was like, slight? What the fuck? Like, why am I fucking killing myself? And I started then going like half formula, half. And then I stopped at like 4 months, just a little over 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then I felt free. But I still feel kind of guilty about it because I'm like, oh, it does seem like this wonderful experience. And it does seem like, but it just, it wasn't for me. You know?
Oh, but your experience, 100%.
Even while I was pregnant, my mom, she loves to give those cold, hard truths. But she was just like, I tried to breastfeed you for the first 3 days, and it felt like you were slicing my nipple open. Ugh. And so she said that, and she's like, I just couldn't do it. I was at the hospital crying all the time. And like by day three, you were 100% formula fed. Yeah. And she kept on being like, don't put the pressure on yourself because like, look at you. You're so good looking.
Wow, that is so
a genius.
Nice. So nice.
You know, just so humble. She's like, even as I was going into the hospital, she like FaceTimed me and remembered like, you don't have to breastfeed. I didn't breastfeed you. I don't know whether it was overcompensating for the fact that she didn't.
Yeah.
But she was just like, it's fucking tough. So don't put extra pressure on yourself.
But then what did you do, Josephine?
Oh, you know, I did the opposite.
I know.
She took her mother's advice, obviously.
Yeah. None of us ever take our mother's advice.
I really rebelled on this one. This was how I showed her. I breastfed my first kid for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Because I got it stuck in my head. I knew that it was going to be horrible.
Yeah.
But I was like, the World Health Organization says it's best to breastfeed for 2 years. And then I just, like, you know, it was psychotic behavior on my part to be like, I have to do it for 2 years, no matter how hard it is and how horrible it is for my mental health. But I didn't for the second.
But did you did you enjoy it? And then, or it was hard, or was just the pressure of the...
I hated it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh my
God. I hated it all the way until.
Our days are just really busy right now, focusing on Henry, and it's really hard to find the time to meal prep or even go to the grocery store. And that is why I'm absolutely loving Home Chef. They're different from all other meal kit brands. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or even quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/sitwithus. That's homechef.com/sitwithus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. homechef.com/sitwithus. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
I know. I actually, you should tell us how it made you feel about your own body, because I've heard this story and it, like, it revolutionized how I thought about the whole thing. I was like, oh my God, you're so right.
Yeah. So, you know, both times with my kids, I did breastfeed, but with my second, I stopped around 5-6 months because it really, really sank in just how terribly I felt about breastfeeding. But, you know, I would breastfeed and have gender dysphoria. Like, it wasn't just, oh, I'm sad about this or this is uncomfortable, but I would sit there like in disgust with the thought of having boobs. And I was like, I don't like this. I don't want to have breasts. And I felt very unfemale. And so in all of the times where my body performed the most female, like when I was pregnant, when I had to breastfeed, I was like, oh, I don't think I'm supposed to be a woman. Like, this feels real, like I'm in the wrong body. Wow. And that was the first time that I actually considered, like, I think that I'm non-binary. It was like a very big realization. And I would talk to my friends and be like, is it supposed to feel like this when you don't like it? And some people were like, oh, maybe you have Deemer. And I looked it up.
What's Deemer?
I've never heard of that.
I don't remember the full name. It's an abbreviation for something. We can look it up in a second. We can look it up now. But it is a hormonal reflex that happens that if you have like a whole like dip in serotonin because of the hormones that cause you to lactate.
And I think I had a little bit of that.
Yeah. So some
it's like
women,
the letdown, you get depressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some people with the letdown, they get euphoric. Like your hormones can go kind of any which way, but a lot of women have a big hormone reaction while breastfeeding that can make them feel really like outside themselves, either like kind of manic, euphoric, or like super depressed.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not depressed. I just felt non-female. Like I wanted to reject my female body. And
you also, with your second, came out of a super, super painful pregnancy where you were incredibly sick the whole time.
Oh.
Which would also lead you to not want, you know, like to be pregnant.
Yeah. I had hyperemesis gravidarum where I vomited every single day and was nauseous 9 to 10 hours every day.
Which did you see? They're coming out with a pill.
I did.
It's a protein that you create that someone create. Yeah.
Thank God they're doing something about it. But the combination.
Because it was for 9 months. It wasn't for like the first 12 weeks or whatever. Which, by the way, 12 weeks is incredibly long to be that sick.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, your pregnancy can be really tough. Your childbirth can be really tough, as we know from a lot of women's, but especially Becky's story. Yeah. And then breastfeeding, you know, for me, by the time it got to my second and I had two experiences of it, I'm like, this is really, you know, gender dysphoric. And I really don't want to do it anymore because how I feel about my own identity when I do it, as opposed to the physical discomfort or the exhaustion from it anymore.
Yeah. It's so much more than the physical act of it. I was having success on producing milk. So I was pumping because I couldn't, the idea of Henny being on me and then like what I said, waterboarding and suffocating him at the same time, I was like, I can't. Like the idea of putting him on me was so uncomfortable. It like literally would make my body curl into a little ball. That's why I exclusively pumped for the first 3.5 months of his life. Mm-hmm. And then I only switched to breastfeeding when the pumping got uncomfortable. And it was like, it wasn't like, oh, I love this so much more. It got easier because he was bigger and because I was more removed from that hospital setting of do it. You got to do it.
There was
the breast
pressure.
Milk's so good. And Rachel, I feel like that's something you can speak to because you had a completely different experience feeding your children
and
the pressure that not only doctors put on you, but like your other mom friends, other people in your life.
Crazy for people to assume anything about anyone ever and their bodies. Like, it's the year of our Lord and Savior Barbie 2024. Like, stop assuming anything. I once, like, you know, was bottle feeding my babies at our coffee shop and someone was like, you know, you should really breastfeed them. And I was like, you know, I had breast cancer twice.
Jesus.
So you can shove it up your ass.
Oh, My
you
know? God.
Like, you just can't, you just shouldn't, like, what the fuck? No one needs your opinion.
No.
Did you say that out loud?
Yeah, I did. I really did. I was so reaction? Mad.
Yeah, what did she
they
say?
They were like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Because I also feel filled with rage ever since having babies. And my kids were little. I was like, no, you're being an asshole. I'm going to make you feel so bad about yourself right now.
That was,
how dare you just come up and say something? I also, 10 years prior to that, I was wearing my friend Jessa's baby on the subway in New York. And 15 years prior to that, and bottle feeding her. And this little granny comes up to me and was like, you know, you should really be breastfeeding. And I was like, she's not my child. Do you really think I should still be breastfeeding?
Yeah.
I know. When I was like wanting to quit, and Miles was so supportive, he was like, Sarah, just quit. And then when you start weaning, you start like hormonal. So I was like crying like all the time. You know, I was just like, I'm so sick of crying.
Yeah.
But Miles is like, just quit, Sarah. It's okay. Like, you know, but I was holding on to this thing. And some of it is like, I don't know. I guess if I really, how I am presented in the world is important to me.
Yeah.
And I remember like, well, what if I go to a restaurant and I have to fill the formula and people are going to look at me like, oh, she's a failure. Oh, God, this is stupid. I'm crying. But, so stupid.
I assume we're all going to cry at some point in this episode.
It was fine, you know, but it was like once the doctor said like it was fine, I just like, I mean, I had a hard time in the beginning anyways, but it was like, I just don't want to do it. And I felt like I was a bad mom if I didn't want to do it. And the other moms that were trying to be nice were like, just keep going. It gets easier. It gets easier.
And that's not everyone's experience.
Yeah.
And you're not stupid. Yeah. The societal pressure is what's stupid. And the fact that moms breed all of these insecurities about themselves and like failings as a mother because of other people's opinions is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The fact that you felt insecure about that is a result of that and not because of your own stupidity.
Yeah. And, so, you know, on the other side, I also was like, ew, I don't want to breastfeed in public. Like, I'm down for everyone breastfeeding in public. Like, pull those puppies out. Like, I don't care. But, like, I didn't want to. And I think because maybe the size, it was like, how could you not take a double take at those things? Like,
yeah,
the
baby.
Restaurant was going to stop. like, as progressive as it was.
It was
going to be. I mean, poor, you know, like, poor Miles' parents saw
beautiful.
A lot of them. Yeah.
They were beautiful.
But yeah, honestly, this woman on my street was so nice. After I had the baby, I felt like everyone was coming up to me going, oh, are you in bliss? And I was like, no.
No.
You know, this is hell. And then this one neighbor, she was so great. She looked at me and she went, how you doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was seen. And then she was like, I was like, I'm having trouble with breastfeeding. She's like, quit. That baby went straight to the bottle because I wanted a night nurse and slept the night. She's like, I saved up for 3 months of night nurses and did straight to the bottle. And I was like, what? That's so cool of you.
Yeah.
You know, because you feel like you're like, I felt like doing formula was like giving your kid Diet Coke. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, fake, like, not as good, you know? And I was also, my mom had to go back to work, and then that time, women didn't have pumps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So my mom went back to work at 6 weeks, and I had to be formula because they didn't have that, you know? And now it's, like, you know, this different pressure, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But look how gorgeous, and you're a little of a genius, and, you know, amazing you are now, even though you're a formula fed.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was having trouble with her kid and losing weight and blah, blah, blah. And I reached out to my friend Jessamine, whose baby was the one I was wearing on the subway, whose baby is now 12. And I asked her, because I remember her going through the same thing when her baby was an infant. And I was like, what would you do here, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, I can't even remember. Those early traumas, they don't matter. And they do matter at the time, but she was like, oh, right, that thing we went through where my baby was losing weight, you get over it, and now you have a 12-year-old kid who's running around functioning, and it's like, there are only so many decisions you get to make about this new little life that you're in charge of, and it's really overwhelming, but by the time your kid is 12, unless there is, like, some sort of illness or genetic thing you're dealing with, of course there are exceptions, but, like, a lot of this fades away, and you won't... We're all traumatized because we're so close to it, but the trauma evaporates over time as they grow up and they walk and they talk and they go to school and they have ideas. And it's like, right, whether I gave them formula or donor milk or breast milk doesn't actually matter anymore. It mattered because it was one of like six decisions I got to make about them. And we put so much on ourselves, but like, they're going to grow and thrive. You're feeding your baby. That's what's so important.
I mean, we were just talking about this outside where when breast milk or formula are the only things they eat, it seems like such a huge decision. But like fast forward to a one-year-old or a two-year-old or a five-year-old, you know, I was just saying like my two-year-old only wants to drink bath water now, like just dirty soap. She'll like lay in the tub and go, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, why was I worrying about formula or not when like she's just going to eat garbage for the rest of her life? Like that's her favorite flavor.
Well, I also think, you know, like someone like myself or my friends Alex and Ross were over with their adopted 8-month-old this weekend and they are, you know, gay dads. It's like, do you think they're giving their babies trash? No, of course. You would never think like, how dare you? How dare you do that to your baby? Because they don't have other choices. So why would we look in the mirror at ourselves and say, how dare you?
Yeah. You know? Well, and it's also we're told. I feel like we were told from so many people, and like I considered our pediatrician, she's not our pediatrician anymore because she had to take some time off, but I really loved her. She was like phenomenal. She's very kind of like loosey-goosey, never said anything that truly upset me, whereas I feel like other doctors said things that really made me upset. But when Henry started losing weight, she was like, well, what are you eating? What's your diet? Are you exercising? Like asking me all these questions about like how I lived. And she was like, yeah, your milk's probably not as fatty anymore. And I was literally like,
oh yeah, that's,
I was like, oh, I'm just, I'm giving him subpar food. I started giving him more formula because I was like, I can't, I'm not making this for you. And it was at the cost of like, I am exercising more. I am, you know, eating healthier. She was like, well, what were you eating when he was first born? I was like, ice cream, candy, pizza, literally anything I could put in my mouth. I did. So it brings back that like sort of internal like, fuck, this is what I did. I was like, if I, you know, cut back on working out or if I, you know, oh, I should have, not like, it's like a reverse, like, healthy eating. I'm like, I should eat all these fatty foods so that I can give him this. But you're still fighting with yourself about, like, oh, but I'll just give him formula. Or I'll just give him, it's this, like.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like too much information in your brain isn't good. You don't know which way to go.
Your brain is not good.
And I think people also forget, like, how much it is, you know, like I didn't know, like one is like, so it's for those who haven't had a baby or haven't breastfeed, it's every 2 hours, but every 2 hours from when you started breastfeeding. So let's say it's like 12 o'clock, you start breastfeeding, right? And sometimes it would take me 30 minutes because I was like, and also they give you like, right now it's in theme. I don't think for the next baby I'll do this, but it's like in theme of like, clocking how long your brain, you know, so I'd be like clocking and I was like looking at a timer. It was so anxiety inducing of like, okay, it's been 15 minutes. Okay. Switch sides. You know, by the time you're done 2 hours from 12 o'clock, 12, what is 2 o'clock, right? But then you're not finishing until almost one. So then it's basically, so it's like every hour throughout the day, there's that scene in Garden State.
Where, you love Garden State.
Sorry, I do. Sorry,
your love of Garden State. I love it. I absolutely love your love of Garden State.
It was probably me referencing the same scene, but maybe I'll quote the movie. I don't care. Okay. I rewatched it. Guess what? It held up for me. Sorry. Everyone says it doesn't, but for me, it did.
Okay, I got to do a rewatch.
Yeah. Everyone's like, what are you talking about? But he's in this party scene or whatever, and they did this, like, you know, cinematic. So the whole, he's in a party the whole night, he's on the couch, and, like, the whole, it's, like, moving, everyone's around him. That's what I felt like those, like, first couple of weeks of breastfeeding. He's, like, I was on the couch, and I was just, like, you know, just, it was, like, you know, and you're just, like, everything. And I felt like from that time I didn't move. And it was anxiety-inducing. Now, I'm like, if I were to do it again, I'd be more relaxed. But I was like, is he getting enough? Is he getting enough? You know, because you can't see it. You know, you're like, is he even? I was like, I don't know if he's taking the milk. I don't know. You know, and it's this pressure for them to gain weight. And it's like, it's really intense. You know, and when I was at the hospital, and it was all like a whole mess, but the nurses kept being like, make sure your breasts don't suffocate him. because
casual.
Yeah. So they're like, make sure, because, you know, your boobs are so big that you make sure that your breast isn't hitting their nose. And I was like, so can you imagine how terrified you are? You just had a baby and you're like,
it's 1 a.m. You've and got you're a tiny like, little
that's what
head
was
and
talking
you're,
about.
And I'm like, and they're going to suffocate.
Like, bleeding from the crotch. And you're also like, okay, well, if I relax for a minute,
so yeah, your stomach gonna, like, is in.
Oh no, you're
ripped
I'm
apart.
Still like getting, yeah, I'm still yeah. stuck to the bed.
You can't lift things.
Yeah. And so, and I heard actually like it's, they can't suffocate that way from your boob. Like they, their nose would go out, but they tell you that. So you're just in fear yeah. of like, is the boob blocking their nose? It's so intense. And all of a sudden you're like scared.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's like scary and like a lot of work. I kept being like, wait, oh wait, I'm sorry. It's 2 hours from when you started. I thought it was from when you finished.
Yeah.
So you have to understand for those first like 2 weeks or until they get to like a certain weight, it is just mm-hmm. your whole entire day and whole night.
Oh yeah.
Or they even cluster feed sometimes.
Yes.
I remember maybe lay in bed in the middle of the night and my son was on my boob because I had the timer. For a straight 3 to 4 hours, just like sucking and sucking and sucking. I was a low producer and I was like, he's too skinny, he's too little. He's like falling in his percentage of his weight. And just let him suck me into like a husk of a human being. And it was like not cool. But I'm glad that we all ended up making the right decision for us. Like you had that neighbor. And for me, it was actually Rachel. You know, I met Rachel during my second pregnancy and knowing that she was a breast cancer survivor and knowing that June and Poppy are the best two humans on earth, I was like, I'm good. Like everybody needs that other parent that's like, you are, you know, the benchmark for me to say like, it's okay. And hopefully some of you feel like it's okay after listening to this.
Yeah.
If anyone's looking, because I felt like there were so many times where I was looking for permission.
Totally.
When it comes to having a kid, it was like, I'm looking for permission. I'm looking for validation from someone else to say, regardless if it was breastfeeding, formula feeding, whatever, introduce baby-led weaning versus purees, whatever it is, someone to say what you're doing is okay. Mm-hmm. As long as it's making, as long as you can be a good parent, that's what makes you a good parent, is making those choices for yourself.
Honestly, if anyone's like questioning, like, am I a good parent? Should I do baby-led weaning? Should I do formula? Should I do this? Should I do that? Mm-hmm. You're already a good parent. You care so much.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You care so much. And it's better to be like a good enough parent than a perfect parent.
Yeah.
Because one, that doesn't exist. We're all just humans. But two, your kids are not perfect. They're also going to be good enough. So modeling a relationship where you're allowed to make mistakes or go back on what you did or like the choices you made were wrong, you know.
Change your mind.
Change
it's okay
mind.
To change your mind when you get new information.
Yes. I think that's actually so much better than like I just did everything right and everything worked out well for us. Mm-hmm. Because human experience is not I did it all right and we're all happy. Human experience is frustration and sadness and sacrifice that doesn't work out. And so modeling all of that for your baby and later your toddler and then eventually your preschooler, I think is right.
Yeah. I think like too is like, I don't know if we're doing like a feminist debate about it because there's like a division of like, you know, it's healthy and it's natural and all those things, which is like that part. And it's like that, if that's your journey, like awesome. If you like enjoy it and like, I do have friends that love it, like, I'm happy for you. Yeah.
That's because they got the good hormones coming out.
Yeah, right? And they're like, lucky, it feels so good.
Yeah, I can get high off of it. I would too.
And and it's a reminder too, I think, of like your experience is not someone else's because I've definitely been that person being like, you got to do it. And then I'm like, wait, that might not be their experience, you know, because they were like encouraging me and I was like, I'm having a different experience.
Yeah.
And they couldn't understand what I was saying. But also in reverse, as like another feminist move, I'm like, I wanted it to be more equal with me and Miles, you know? And I think sometimes if you're the main breastfeeder and the main breastfeeder, there's only one of you, and it naturally becomes all on you. Mm-hmm. And like they get only used to you. And I was like, I want, if he cries in the middle of the night, to also be like, Miles can be there, for, you know? Like that was important to me that it was, I feel like it's so much as we've grown as a society, it's so much still on the mom. On the mom and the mom. And I have 100%. To fight to be like, no, it's both of us, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, luckily I have a partner that like is of course down for that. But naturally stuff like that, it leans more on you. And you're like, well, he wants you. And it's like, no,
no.
You know? Yeah. It, every every couple, you mm-hmm. know, gender or, you know, it's like all these, how are you going together? And I just like, for me to, I just can't do it all on me. You know, like mm-hmm. some people I'm like, wow, look at you. But like, you know, Jillian's in daycare. Like I can't, I'm like, it's too much to yeah. like, to be all on, you know, one person in my opinion. But some people are like awesome.
Yeah.
Good at that. I don't know.
Well, I also think I saw this thing. I read an article on TikTok. I saw someone talking on TikTok. They were complaining. There was this big, like, I wouldn't even call it a controversy, but this, some influencer had a baby and was competing in like Miss America or some pageant or something like that.
Oh, and I saw this.
Yeah. So there was like a divide of
on
people.
On TikTok.
Yeah. I saw it on TikTok. There was like, I don't know. I was seeing all sides of different arguments and mm-hmm. I was like, I don't care. But also I was like watching it. So apparently I did care. But this one creator like stitched it and was talking about on social media, it's really cool right now and really trendy to be like, I fucking hate breastfeeding. I hate being a mom right now. I hate this. I hate that. Like being very negative. And she was like, this is all I see. I can't believe this is where we've come as a society, blah, blah, blah. And someone very thoughtfully stitched with that video and was like, mm-hmm. the reason you're seeing more of this is because our parents' generation and our grandparents' mm-hmm. generation, nobody talked about anything. Mm-hmm. Like our mom's generation, they did not talk about postpartum depression. And like mm-hmm. people died.
I don't even know if they knew they had
they
PPD.
They didn't have a name
just,
for
like,
it.
Upset.
Yeah. They didn't have a name for it. That was dangerous for children at the time. Uh-huh. It's dangerous now. But it's like, if you don't talk about those things and we're only hearing, this is beautiful. This is a wonderful experience. You're going to be so bonded with your baby. Like, I love every single minute of motherhood is a joy. You're going to feel, I mean, I personally, when I feel people, I see that online, I'm like, okay, I'm a bad mom.
Oh,
because there are times
totally.
Where I'm like, I am so, when Henry was like little, I was like, I'm bored out of my mind. All I'm doing is feeding you, changing you, and then you sit here and you can't even really look at me. You've got no depth perception, and we just stare at each other. And I'll be like, okay, it's been 2 days and I haven't gone outside.
Yeah.
It's been 2 days and I haven't talked to another adult mm-hmm. other than Keith. Like, those things just aren't being talked about. I think people are seeing it more talked about now because we're a generation of people who love to talk.
We have to like share our stories because I had a really rough go of it right after the twins were born.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm still making my peace with the fact that parenthood didn't go the way I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard. And for a while I was like, oh, my kids are going to be fucked up because of it. They're not. They're fine. They're great. But like I had ideas about being a mom and I didn't get them just because I was really sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my kid was in the NICU and another kid was at home and I was like dying.
Yeah.
So like it just takes a lot to like rectify that. And if you hear that everyone else is dying too, you're like, oh, I have a better perception of knowing what this is going to be like, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I had pretty bad postpartum depression. And by the way, when I went to the doctor, I didn't say anything.
No.
I didn't say anything. Stupid questionnaire.
The questions
they give
I was like, it's also like, how are you feeling? I'm like, things are okay. You know, like.
We're making it through.
Yeah.
Because we're used to being polite and not saying that we're in pain, not talking about if we're sad, talking about if we're angry, because you're supposed to be a moms are happy.
And it's this guilt that you're not in bliss and like. I was at dinner this past weekend and we were meeting someone and they were talking about their brother just had a baby and we're all like having ramen and their brother just had a baby. And I was like, everyone's like, how are they doing? And they're like, oh my God, they're just so happy and he's perfect. And they're just like, they just are doing so well. And you guys, I burst into tears. I had to be like, oh, the soup, it's so hot. You know, like I had to go to the bathroom and I felt so bad because I was like, someone else's happiness made me devastated. And it was just grief that I was like, I didn't fucking get that. You know, like that was this was the hardest year of my life.
Yeah.
I'll downright say it. This was the hardest year of my life. Yeah. You know, like I woke up at noon before the baby. All right. Like I was like,
sounds like a dream you were living out that the rest of us didn't have. That's amazing.
No, it was probably not always great. But like It was just like, I was devastated that I was like, that's what I was expecting. And to hear someone else say, and they're like, it was just like, I didn't realize how heartbreaking it was to me that I was like, oh, I thought I would get that, you know? And then I was like, but every mom I talked to is like, that's not true.
I know. I mean, like, you know, I feel so sad for us that an immediate reaction is like, oh, like, is the problem with me? Whereas if I were to hear that story from somebody, I'd be like, you're fucking sus. Like, I don't know how to trust you.
Yeah. Oh, the people who are unbelievably happy.
But they're like, we're just so in love and everything's going great. I'm like, bitch, you lying.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I say internally, but then I'm like, but like, you can't, can you imagine if I was dinner? I'm like, yeah, okay.
I know, but no, but like,
internally. Sure, Susie.
College friends of mine had a baby and I went to visit them, you know, when the baby was like a couple weeks old the first time, and I walked into their house and another college friend came. I've known them 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she was sitting there nursing her baby and he let me in and we walked back to the nursery and she was crying tears of happiness. And I left there and looked at my other college friend. Looked at my other friend who has a 5-year-old, I have 4-year-olds, and I was like, I want to burn their house down. I love them to death, but I want to set the place on fire.
Yeah.
Because that is not anything I got out of it, you know?
Oh, 100%. I want to throw my phone across the room when I see the TikToks. I finally had to do the not interested.
Oh, yeah.
Of what to bring to like the hospital or like people who like record their golden hour. And I'm like, that is so beautiful. And I am so happy for people that get to do that. But in my mind, I'm like, selfishly or not, I cannot take myself out of that. Mm-hmm. I was like, all that brings me back to is what I didn't get. And I want to be happy for other people. So I was like, I need this to be, I need to just not see this because it's making me mad at people I don't know for having a good experience.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought everyone would come to the hospital. Everyone was like, I was like, ugh, everyone come in. And I was like a mess. I had a wet tap. It was terrible. But it was like, which is like brain fluid leakage because I did the epidural wrong. It was a total disaster. And my best friend took some pictures because you know you want. Uh-huh. And I was like, she saw them recently. She got them developed. She was like, you can't see them.
Oh, 100%.
She's like, it's so dark. It's bad. And I was like, don't show them to me. She's like, it's really upsetting.
I was looking back at pictures of me and Henny when I had COVID because I was isolated from him. So I was looking back just at like birth pictures and it's my fucking swole. I mean, I was so swollen because I was leaking so much fluid that they just pumped me for 3 days. I was unrecognizably myself with this tiny, tiny baby that looked like, when I look back at pictures of him now, I'm like, oh, this is why people kept like checking in on us. Cause at the moment, in the time, you're like, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful. And now when I look back at him, I was like, you are so sick. Like, this is what a baby with no fat on them looks like. Like, you're so tiny. And like, I will never frame that picture. I will never print that picture. That will be something that I take a mental image of. But I remember having friends who like had makeup on and like were like, this beautiful picture with their baby. And it's like, you have this expectation of what it's supposed to be. And you're like, I didn't get that. I want that. I
know.
Mad.
And good for them. But the rest of us need to talk about it because that's not, none of us know how it's going to go. The doctors don't know how it's going to go. It's like a live event. And I don't know. Like, we just like, I had some preparation for like, oh, they might be early, they might be little, whatever. You did too. But then I wasn't prepared to miss golden hour. I wasn't prepared to be separated.
No. And there's something that goes on and it's like my logical brain knows that that is bullshit. Like my logical brain knows that Henry being on my skin for an hour after birth has no effect on his rest of his life. But there is no way I will ever, I don't think my head will, it's separate. It's so separate. I'm like, I want it so badly, even though I know it's so unimportant in the grand scheme of like bonding and like being with your baby. But it's all that expectation that you have.
You're allowed to want what you want. Like if you want a scheduled C-section and have hair and makeup done for, you know, that golden hour picture.
That'll be
like,
my next one.
Go for it.
Yeah. We'll get a glam squad.
And I'll bring
the ring
light.
And when Julian looks back, he'll be like, why weren't you like that for me?
Yeah.
And
I'll be like, it was the worst day of my life.
But Yeah, I think we talk about more of the negative experiences because, like, you know, I can't watch Rachel cry. I will cry for her. I don't cry about myself. Because
we can,
like,
get into that.
What if, what if that,
another episode, okay, maybe,
different episode.
Nobody messes with Rachel. but we have to talk a little bit more about the negative experiences, even though parenthood also brings you soaring joys, is because God forbid we lose someone, like, in terms of maternal mortality or, you know, postpartum depression or, like, health scares, like, actual health scares. It's like, we need to shine a light on these things so that you're more aware. Like, if my blood pressure drops, what does that mean? If I can't breastfeed, if it is hurting so much, what does that mean? Then, like, instead of just bearing down and sucking it up, like, what if there's something medically wrong or mentally wrong that you need to take care of so we don't lose another mom?
And so, 100%. Yeah, people don't suffer in silence. Yeah. Also, people trying to decide to have kids, they should know this.
Yeah.
They should know this. Like, I didn't know any of this.
Because you're not going to feel alone. For me, it's like, I don't know, maybe because I'm a community person, but like, you know, like, I don't like feeling alone and or like, oh, I'm experiencing something so different. And you do, you're like, oh my God, is it me? You know, instead of being like, it was those moms that were like, you're okay.
Well, also, you know? Is it me? But like, is this... is this one of the avenues that is something you're going to go down that's usual? Like, I just told Skylar and then I told Erica, like, parents, other parents in the office, they were giving their kids antibiotics for the first time since they have babies and they had ear infections. So I was like, oh, by the way, full body rash is not a part of an ear infection, which it usually isn't. Because when I gave the twins their first antibiotics ever as babies, Poppy broke out into a full body rash. I just kept giving it to her because I thought it was the ear infection. And it turns out she was highly allergic.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like pumping her full of like something that was poisonous to her. And I just didn't know until my mother-in-law FaceTimed me and was like, get that baby to a hospital. I was like, this isn't for the ear infection. She was like, no. And I was like, holy shit. So now when people are like, oh, we just picked up amoxicillin, I'm like, if
by the
there's
way.
A rash. It's not the disease. So just like, that's just one example, but like any of this.
If you're someone who's never dealt with anxiety or depression, even if you're not the one physically having the baby, there is,
by the way, non-birthing partners can get postpartum depression too. 100%.
You need to be like looking at yourself and looking at how you feel and looking at your partner. If you're doing it by yourself, looking at yourself and being like, is this my baseline or is it not? And being okay telling someone, hey, I'm having this feeling every time I breastfeed. Because it is, that is more common, is those hormones coming out and either feeling that euphoria or that dread. And if you don't know that, like, why don't they tell you that when you're leaving? You're like, by the way, sometimes when you breastfeed, this will happen. Or the shakes after birth. Who doesn't tell you about the shakes?
I heard about those.
I don't think I got
this. I didn't hear about the shakes.
Oh, my God. I thought what was happening to me was the shakes, and then it turned out I was convulsing. I wasn't just shaking.
Oh, okay.
But
I was shaking in there, like, in there with needles. I'm like, I can't stop. I don't know if it's me.
In labor?
Right after. I mean, there is the shaking.
In the labor,
before,
I think
that's
because they were putting so much stuff in me.
But it's like your adrenaline and your hormones that you can just start shaking.
Yeah,
and if you don't know that's going to happen, you're like, what the fuck?
It's you're not in your right mind.
No.
There's like chemically in your brain, truly like unbelievable amounts of like chemicals, hormones, adrenaline, whatever. It's crazy.
I remember, though, I was crying because my brain was leaking. And
LOL.
My friend on Julian's birthday were like, congrats, it's been a year since your brain fluid was leaking. Thank you.
God.
But when it was happening, I was crying. And the nurse was like, you're a mother now. No more crying.
They said that to me. So I started shaking and I handed a baby off and I started convulsing and I was just sobbing. And she was like, you got to be strong for your babies. No more crying. You got to be strong for your babies. And I was like, I think I'm dying.
Oh,
like I was hemorrhaging. I was like bleeding.
You got to be kidding me.
Docs,
you got
to be strong for your babies. By the way, like I am shocked. Mm-hmm. I gave birth at PIH Health, formerly known as Good Sam. They were great. but that's terrifying.
Yeah. You got to be strong for your babies. You can't cry. You got to be strong. I wanted to be like, okay with me if they cry. I can cry.
Yeah. Also, I'm like, they don't know what's going on.
Also, they were just born and I don't even see them in the room anymore. So what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. And you're so tired. And I hadn't eaten or slept because I had like the C-section, all these different things.
Yeah.
And then you're like not allowed to eat until you've like passed gas. But I was like so out of it. I was like, I don't know if I have. So I just kept not. So it'd been 60 hours since I've eaten or slept. So yes. I was just like a disaster, you know? And then early, I was like, I don't know if I farted. You know,
like, and someone's like, oh, and then feed your baby with your boobs.
Yeah.
Or sticks the pump on you. And you're like, I don't know what's happening.
Well, even talking about these horror stories, like at least I'll speak for myself. I came from a privileged place where I worked for a company that gave me 12, 13 weeks of parental leave. And beyond supporting each other as moms, like our government needs to support each other because you may have a terrible birth experience. And what if you don't have any parental leave whatsoever? Or let's say you're in a situation where like you would like to breastfeed or chest feed, but you don't get enough time for your pump breaks. Mm-hmm. Or if you've chosen to formula feed and, you know, you're only supported with WIC and food stamps to get your formula, and then you get to Target and there's a formula shortage and you can't buy the specific formula because you don't have the money and your WIC stamps only allow you to get certain brands. Like, it's just so much pressure already without, you know, all of the financial constraints or corporate constraints or legal constraints in feeding our babies. Like, what about all of the parents who are stuck in this situation where, like, can't breastfeed because I don't get my pump breaks and I also can't buy formula because they're out and I can't afford it?
Yeah.
And so it's a huge, huge issue all around besides just women supporting women. It's like systems need to support parents.
Yeah, of course.
1,000%. 1,000%. Fuck the system.
I mean, the system is not built for us. We realize that, right? The system is not here to serve us.
No.
How did you feel about weaning, Becky?
I had slowly started weaning. I think the most guilty I ever felt was when I stopped feeding throughout the night. Mm-hmm. Once he was sleeping through the night, I was like, I'm not pumping. I'm not feeding. I am sleeping.
Which, by the way, little tip to all the formula curious out there. You formula feed your baby, they sleep through the night much sooner. Like, much, much sooner.
Yeah.
All the adopted kids I know who are all on formula, the Junes and Poppies, 2 months, those babies are going 8 hours because formula fills you up.
Yeah. People ask me how I slept trained my kids. And I was like, well, the first one was this whole ordeal. And the second with formula, I'm like, she just trained herself.
That's what I say about Henry. I'm like, he just figured it out. And he just did it on his own. But we were already introducing frozen breast milk because I did not want to buy a deep freezer. I was like, I am going to stop pumping when the guest house freezer is full and I will pump no more. I was like, that is an ungodly amount. Our power went out probably a week ago. And I was Googling all the things about like how long it would take to get the power back, like how long milk could be in there before he couldn't use it anymore. And like looking at it and seeing the hours of pumping that milk was like, if it, like there was one time I left a bag on top of the freezer and I just started crying when I saw it later. Cause I was like, that's easily 24 hours of my life was spent pumping that milk or whatever the amount of time it was. That was like waste. It's waste. I couldn't use it. I gave it away. I tried to find people who wanted it. I put it on my hair.
Gave it away for not feeding babies.
For non-feeding babies. I didn't give it to anyone that was going to eat it. I was like, do you have a rash? Try my breast.
You know what? Julie
on TikTok shop.
Why not?
And my friend brought over some frozen breast milk from like a couple years ago when Junie had a rash recently. I was like, yeah, I'll put it in the bath. Let's
why
go.
Not try it?
I mean, the truth is the child had cellulitis. She had strep in her skin, so that wasn't going to cut it. But was it soothing? Sure, maybe.
Yeah. Like,
it wasn't hurting the situation. We also got her antibiotics.
Yeah. So I think it was that sort of time was more stressful than like the like ceremony of it being the last feed. I wanted to be like, I had weaned over months.
By the way,
I'd gotten rid of.
When we gave them their last bottles of formula, I sobbed big tears. I gave it to each of them. I didn't let Watson feed one. And I was just like sobbing. And he was like, they're 13 months. It's over. And I was like, my baby.
Yeah. And it's just like, it was another expectation thing where like, it was like the last morning I was going to breastfeed, like God knows how much that baby was getting. Like we were giving him formula right after he breastfed. So I was like, how much are you getting? This is just for me right now. And it was the morning we got skunked. So we had to leave our
house.
And then I was like, okay, tomorrow will be the day is my last breastfeeding day. So I fed him in the morning and then tested positive for COVID like 3 hours later. And I breathed all over his face. I felt so guilty because I was like, I put him so close to me when he didn't need it. You know what I mean? Because I was like, he was getting his full nutrition out of the formula. But I was like, fuck, if I had given it, which thankfully it did not pass to him. But
the antibodies did.
And I did one pump session because I was like, okay, I'll give him
antibodies
from when I had it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the main benefit is getting those antibodies.
Yeah. So I did one pump there, but it was sort of like a cold turkey cut off of the breastfeeding where I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna feed you all for 8 days. I'm not even gonna hold a bottle to your mouth.
The universe knew and was like, girl, go.
It did. And there was this account that I followed like right when he was born. It was called Dear NICU Mama, and it was like for parents who were had NICU babies, of just like, I don't know, people sharing stories and things like that. But one of the things that they posted was like, you can be so happy and so in love with your healthy baby that you currently have, but still grieve how they came into the world or the choices you didn't get to make when they were little and like the expectations that you had. So it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh, I'm so happy Henny's like thriving. And like, there's so many babies in worse NICU situations than he was in. But like, yeah, the expectation was we were going to have this beautiful bonded moment of, this is the last time, Henry. And Henry's like, give me the fucking bottle, lady. Yeah. I'm starving.
I'm so hungry.
Get out of here. Get away from me with that.
It's just priming us for the paradox of being parents of like, they're separate human beings. They're going to want different things. They're going to challenge us. And our expectations aren't always what's going to end up happening.
Yeah.
And
100%.
So just keep our expectations in check.
I feel like I often tell new parents, like, don't forget the baby's opinion is kind of the one that matters the most. So your baby might be sleep trainable. They might not. They might not like nursing. They might only like bottles. You might have bought all of the Komotomo bottles, but they only drink out of Dr. Brown's. It's like, it's just not up to you.
Yeah.
And I have two in almost identical environments, you could argue. And it just ain't up to me. One's a great sleeper. One's a great eater. They're both sassy as fuck. Like, I just, like, it's not my...
Where do they get that from?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Why
it's
do they
so
have
weird.
Such strong opinions? And why it's do they so cry weird. So much?
Hey, they're in touch with their emotions, those sweet angels.
They're Pisces.
Pisces girls. Rachel, I was wondering if you could speak to, because the three of us went from breastfeeding to formula feeding. Mm-hmm. You always knew you were going to formula or donor milk?
Donor milk. So...
Yeah. What was that like? What was the experience of like looking up the information and having all this time? You had 9 months to figure it out. Yeah.
Well, we really have to rewind. The first time I got breast cancer, I just did a lumpectomy and then my breasts were pretty intact. And then the second time I had breast cancer, it was in the same breast. And I remember I was like 26 and I was in the plastic surgeon's office and I was like, well, if we don't take both breasts, can I breastfeed out of just one? And she was like, you technically probably maybe, but like not enough to sustain a baby.
Yeah.
Certainly not fast forward to sustain twins. But like even at 26, when I was like dying, right? Like I was like, but can I breastfeed my future children that I'm not even having for a long time? Because what is my body? What are we good for as women? You know, like I am very maternal and I do love babies. So that's part of it. But like also like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You gotta be like, well, if you're not alive to have babies, then breastfeeding out of one boob doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah.
So then when we got pregnant with the twins, I was really, really, really set on getting donor milk. And donor milk is very, very expensive and hard to come by. We mapped it out, and it was something like to get enough milk bought from milk banks for infant twins was something like $25,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
I think we did the math on a podcast once about per feeding how much a donor milk feed would be. And it was something
very expensive.
$15 to $20 a feed when babies eat.
Per baby.
When they're eensy, they're eating all day.
Yeah.
Hundreds of dollars a day.
When June and Poppy were first born, well, 2 weeks later, once I was out of the ER in surgery and the babies were out of the NICU and we were all home, we were feeding them. When I was alone with them, I was only feeding them because they would take 30 to 40 minutes to eat and they're eating every hour and a half. So once you feed two babies, mm-hmm. that's an hour and a half. We were going through so much milk. So we could not do that. We got milk from a bunch of different places, including like I had a friend on the East Coast. We paid like $1,000 to ship all the milk in her deep freezer overnight on dry ice. We tapped into a couple of breastfeeding Facebook groups in LA and I got strangers' milk. I would go to their house and empty out their deep freezer. We had a deep freezer.
Yeah.
And we hooked it up to a generator because that wasn't happening to
us. I texted Rachel about it to be like, okay, so if we do get a deep freezer, like, what's the deal?
I was so, and I had friends who were like, you can give them formula. Like, I was formula fed as an adult, like, whatever. And I was just like, convicted that I didn't want that choice taken away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, you get so few choices that you're like, this is what I want. Yeah. And then I had to go through the hospital. So you can't bring in your own donor milk into a hospital. Mm-hmm. They only go through the NICU. It has to be pasteurized, which obviously it isn't otherwise. Mm-hmm. And there's like all these rules around it. And so I had to like dig in with the hospital ahead of time to get them to agree to give us donor milk through the NICU. It was like this whole ordeal. Of course, then Poppy gets sent to the NICU while I'm still like hemorrhaging on a table somewhere. June gets sent to the nursery and they give them both formula. Like hour one, day one, golden hour, they get formula. It's out of your hands. They were like, oh, right, it does say donor milk. Okay, we'll switch. You know, like it just doesn't go the way you thought. And we gave them donor milk for the first 4 months. And then the first time we traveled with them, I gave them formula for the first time. And then it also ended up being the first time they slept through the night.
Was that $100,000 then?
No, it wasn't because I got it from friends. And I got it from like these people who would have otherwise given their milk to a milk bank.
Yeah.
But where NICUs get their milk and how you buy it from a milk bank is the same place. And it's pretty limited and it's super high cost.
Yeah.
But I was just like sold on it, you know? And I had a couple of beautiful moments. Like my friend Audrey came down from San Francisco and fed my children via a bottle her breast milk after she had just nursed her own baby who was only a couple months older. And we both just cried. And, you know, like there was some loveliness to it.
Yeah.
But I also was just like, I won't be cornered into this decision. Now, were I to go again, I would just do formula, you guys.
But you have to try things out for yourself.
Yeah,
you know, like you already have so many anxieties. You have very few choices and et cetera. And like if it's affirming for yourself to like jump through those hoops and go through it, then because like that's what you need to do.
Because how you feed them, how you sleep them, is basically all you got to influence their lives, right? Yeah. Like in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like I said, when they're 12, we won't remember, like, there's a great meme that's like, well, my son just got a face tattoo, so go ahead and formula feed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, shit's gonna happen. But yeah.
I understand you go through any hoops to make it being like, what's the best for them?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I'll do anything. If
and
it's
I
even
want
a little bit
choice.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah, having that choice. Yeah.
And you're scared all the time.
You're so scared.
Like, always.
You're just always scared. Do what makes you feel a little less scared. It's okay.
Yeah. It is. Like, I remember being like, there's an old man screaming at me, you know, like, because he's so tiny and like,
old man.
Yeah. They just look like little old men. And you're like, but it was like, I was like, it hit me with a responsibility. Like, this is so scary. And Miles and I would wake up in the middle of the night being like, oh my God, is he going to make it through the night? You know, just because it was like,
you're just so scared.
It's like a fear I never had experienced for, a sense of responsibility and like, oh my God, this is real life.
I really think being in charge of someone else's life to that extent
yeah.
makes you worried. I don't think I was that anxious before, but the anxiety, the rage, and the worry found their way into my life.
It was like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah. Welcome to parenthood. Yeah. We had, you know, Poppy was in the NICU, and then we got to bring her home, and then we had to readmit her to the NICU because she wasn't okay, and handing my baby back off to be safe somewhere else was like unbelievably like anxiety producing.
Yeah.
That was like, so hard.
We went to a normal pediatrician appointment with both girls, and she was like, "You're going to need to walk over to the NICU now." And I was like, "No.
Oh, you don't want to hear that.
No.
Oh my God.
No. And then they take her, they took her little clothes off, they put an IV in. I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening again. We just did this."
Yeah, you're like, we're out, we're free.
And also, I'm not capable of taking care of her right now.
Yeah, I feel like also on the way out of the NICU, you are running. Like, you're running before they say something that makes you have to stay longer. You're like, we're getting out of here. And the nurses are like, we're going. And so, like, the idea of being like, no, you have to come back, like, I would have fallen on the floor.
So just to reiterate, fed is best because is best.
Alive is the best.
Yes.
Feed your babies. Yeah. Feed your babies. But nobody cares how you feed your baby other than you.
We were bananas. We were out of our minds. We had a whole system to go from deep freezer to regular freezer to fridge to heat it up. And like you knew how long each thing. It's 24 hours. It's like 1 year, 24 hours, 24 hours, 24 hours. And you're like, you know, it was
a full-time job.
It's a full-time job.
Speaking of full-time jobs, Joey, you had a full-ass kid before you had another full-ass kid. Rachel got
I didn't get them
Rachel
at the same time.
Rachel got two at once. We got one at a time. Two children.
Right, exactly. Two. And so when...
How? There were times I was breastfeeding where I was like, we're pretty, you know, getting more solidified in our decision to have one kid. And like, there are times where I was feeding Henry and I'd be like, how would I do this if there was another human over there?
There's another baby.
How do you do that?
Luckily, they have a dad. It's kind of like, who's taking care of the baby? I'm like, their father. No, but it was very much the plan of like, since breastfeeding was so physical for me when the second was born, that it was very much like, I'm going to be on like breastfeeding mode. So you should be really active with our older one. He was already three at the time. So he obviously didn't need to be fed from my boob every 2 hours also. But it does come with a little bit of territorial or jealousy or a little bit of wanting to reverse back to being a baby. And so I think what was great about stopping at 5 or 6 months and I wasn't so like attached at the boob to a baby was that my son could have a lot more mommy time. Like at around 6 months when I stopped and it was a lot more equal, like bottle feeding and formula feeding, my son was able to be like, I am mommy's baby and Romy is daddy's baby. You know, it was like a full like switch of the baby had me for so long that he was like, go. You know, and he would want to snuggle and everything like that. Aww. And so it's just understanding that you're a team if you have a team and making sure that it's like that 1-to-1 ratio. I don't know how people with 3 or more children do it. I couldn't. But yeah, it was division of labor.
Yeah. We love to see that division of labor.
I saw a TikTok recently of a woman with 2 little kids who was like, I didn't realize before. I love that we're all mom TikTok, obviously. She was like, I didn't realize that we would stop operating and doing things as a family and start operating and doing things as 2 teams.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that
my husband and I are no longer cohesive. We're now divided. And I feel like we've been doing that since the beginning. We got this 1-to-1 ratio going on and it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard to like, it's much harder to do things all together or to be like, you take the kids so I can have 1 second and then I'll take them so you can do that work thing. And, you know.
Well, so this idea of like, yes, we all know our baby's best. When that baby first comes out of you, like I remember the nurses would tell me like, you know your baby best, you know what to do. And I'm like, I literally don't know this person. I was like, you took him away right after he was born. I see him for a couple hours a day. You know this. You know what's best for this baby. I don't even have a medical degree. I can barely do math in my head. I don't know what's best for him. Like, what are you talking about?
You took this baby away. Like,
so having two and then having to figure out their individual personalities or their individual preferences or, you know, things like that is like,
well,
seems like a lot. Seems like a lot.
Here's why I think two is harder than one for me.
There's more than
it's
one.
All
of them.
It's all hard.
That's it.
But when you have one kid, you can just react to them. Oh, they're hungry, we'll feed them. Oh, they're tired, we'll nap them. Oh, they want to play a silly game, I'll be the funniest person you've ever seen. Has everyone in this room seen Becky rap at Henry to get him to laugh?
You!
But when you have two, you're anticipating who's going to be crankier, who's going to be hungrier, who needs what first, because if I am alone with two babies or two toddlers, I need to get to that person first and anticipate and predict what's going to happen so that then I don't have two children who I can't physically react to at the same time. Mm-hmm. So when I'm out and about with two babies that need bottles, I'm like, okay, well, who's going to do this? Who ate first? Who had a poop? Who did what? And mm-hmm. I can't just like be present. I'm like planning, you know, a battle all the time.
Here's where it's easier, though. You just give way less of a fuck. You're like, you're crying? Well, your brother wants his ass wiped. So, like, just fucking deal. You know?
Right.
And, or it's like, someone wants attention. It's like, I can't give it to you. I'm stuck here breastfeeding or whatever. It is like, go grab an iPad. Whatever. Like, all of those worries that I had, like, with a timer or, like, sleep training or whatever, it just all went out the door when they're consecutive because you're just like, you're fine. You will be alive at the end of the day. You will be fed at the end of the day. Yeah. It's like, cool. Like, you know, that's why I wouldn't, if you're choosing to have a second, I wouldn't be too afraid of it. There are days where like, what did we do? And then, you know, you see them have a really adorable sibling moment and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that part is really cute.
That's why it's like all of the choices you get to make, you don't get to make, like, you're gonna be okay. Everyone, you're going to be okay.
I think that's the moral of the story when it comes to, I mean, our broader topic of breastfeeding or feeding your baby today is like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you're going to do is okay. And if you need someone in your life to validate or give you permission for that, it's us. We've done it and we'll give it to you.
What could you have each said to your past selves who are on the verge of having a baby that would have like eased the road for you?
I think it's okay to help you know, like, like helping me, like he was just a little baby. If I need, like, I needed break time. I know some people are like, I can't have 30 minutes. I needed to like go out and like, you know, be a little bit by myself in the beginning. And luckily we had Miles's parents and, you know, like so many people helping. But I think I felt guilty every time I left, like so guilty. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm gone for an hour, you know, or like, the breastfeeding, I wish I stopped earlier because I just wasn't enjoying it. I wish I stopped right away, to be honest. And I think just being like helping me was helping him and like he was going to be fine if I helped myself.
Yeah.
You know, but I kept being like, sacrifice me, just push through, push through, push through, push through.
Why is that our go-to? Like if I just put my head down and get through it, then everyone else will be okay.
Because it's survival.
Yeah.
You know, that's survival, you know, so it's like, if I just, I can bear it, I can bear it, I can bear it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you don't have, it's okay, you know, and like, you still deserve things, you know, you don't have to, you're going to suffer a little. Like, that's true. I'm not going to be like, don't suffer at all. You're just going to have, like, you're up all night and it is difficult, but I think to be like, give yourself a break a lot more, you know.
What about you, Becky?
That's tough. I'm trying to think. What I would have told myself. I don't know, probably somewhere along the same lines of like, it's okay to not do certain things. Like you don't have to be so, I get in my head of like, so I need to get to 6 months. And with the pumping and the breastfeeding, I do wish I was a little less like, I wish I was a little more relaxed with it. Where I was like, I had a time, like I had the timer and I was like, it's been 3 hours on the nose. He needs to eat right now. Like it was very... My time was centered only, your time in general is centered around their, when they're eating, when they're little. But I was like on a clock and my day was only devoted to the clock. So I feel like I was waiting. I was like, I can't wait to be done with this clock. I can't wait till he can do X. And I think Miles has said it before. Maybe you've both said it to me. But you've been like, don't spend too much time worrying about this phase that they're in right now. Like, you really want to get to that next phase. But, like, you kind of then stop enjoying the phase that they're in, if that makes sense. Like, his little slug phase, I was like, God, I cannot wait until this kid can smile at me and laugh at me and we can make these memories. But now when I look back, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have enjoyed the time of just being able to cuddle him and, like, he would just sleep on me for hours.
But you're in it, you know, because I see that too. I see my friends with newborns now, and I'm like, they're so sweet. And I remember people would say they're so sweet. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know? Like, you can't – it's like talking to your 20-year-old self. Like, I couldn't talk to my 20-year-old self. Because she had to go with what she had to go through. Like, you know, like, to get to me now, I had to go through that crap then, you know? So it's like, that's why I'm like, maybe in my second, I could, but who knows?
Yeah.
You know, you never know how much you, I'm even still in that now. Because, like, he's one and glorious and it's much easier and better for me. But I still am like, when can we have an intellectual conversation? You know, like, I'm like, and when can you put a sentence together? I'm like, you keep pointing to things and I don't know what, and I'm like, this is frustrating for me. I want to have a relationship with my son. Who are you? What's going on?
Can I look back on them, like, just pointing and grunting? I'm like, with your cheeks and your little falling over and your hand is chubby?
He is doing this thing whenever he, because I was really insistent about the barn animals. I don't know. I don't know why we have to learn barn animal sounds, but they really put it in. But when he sees a chicken anywhere, like a picture of chicken, it was a...
Oh!
It's the cutest thing. It's because I always go... But he just goes... And then if I know that, I'm like, where's the chicken? There's a chicken in here.
She's scared. She's like,
there's a chicken.
Where's the chicken?
A chicken is nearby.
Yeah.
But I know that. I think that's how it's like, honestly, if I'm really thinking about, I'm always like that in my life too, though. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What's the next thing? Like, when's the next gig I'm going to, what's the next thing? You know, like, and I'm like, it's really hard to be like, okay, I'm enjoying right now.
Yeah.
It's a really hard thing. And I'm still in it. I'm still like, no. Once he gets to preschool, that's it. You know, and like, and I know it's never ending.
I try to, like, when I look back at my kids from a year ago, which I do a lot, I'm always like, oh my God, look at how young they look. So then I try to say, okay, they are four on the verge of turning five. This time next year, I'm going to think how young they look.
Yeah.
So let me try and enjoy this little phase and what all it has, because they will never be like four, almost turning five again. And there's so much to like love here. And because when I look back, I feel so nostalgic and I try to remember I'm going to feel that way about this right now.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah.
You
know, that's beautiful. What's your advice, JoJo?
Knowing that it will be hard, but that it shouldn't be dark.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And like you said, there's just no limit. You keep pushing. And so remembering that phrase and allowing yourself to have limits and having boundaries, I think would be great knowledge to have when I was pregnant and when I first had a baby, because that's something I had to retroactively learn through my second pregnancy of like, went to the dark place. So let's not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like having your tribe to tell you like that seems concerning, or, you know, recognizing that in yourself to get help. You deserve help.
I love that advice. That advice is so good. And also breastfeeding does hurt. I don't care what they tell you.
Well, in the beginning,
it's uncomfortable always. So
if hard in the beginning.
Like, oh, they say it's, you know, it's not supposed to hurt. It's not supposed to be uncomfortable. It can hurt and be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
In the first couple of days, I had to take breaks because I was like, they're like almost bleeding so badly that we had to put nipple shields on them. Because it was like, I was like, or we'd like have to do one bottle feed, because I was like, they hurt so much.
Yeah.
You do get over that. That's like just a couple of days and it's brutal.
But it's hard, but it shouldn't be dark. You shouldn't be bleeding.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
And Annie Ray, what do you want to leave the people with? Advice for your younger mommy self.
I'm trying to think, because like I knew formula was an option. You couldn't have convinced me. Mm-hmm. You also couldn't have convinced me that like I could see a life in a future without kids, and I could be convinced now. You know, love you, June and Poppy. I mean, really, I think everyone gets something in birth and breastfeeding and the newborn days. It's not going to all be 100%, so like just know that. Mm-hmm. But I also think the baby has an opinion about this stuff, and sometimes it's just not in your control, and sometimes your body just has an opinion and it's not in your control. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if we could just like brainwash out of us all the things we've been taught and just sort of accept the things as they come. Mm-hmm. Rather than like trying to like grit our way through, I think we would all do much better about being like, oh, well, I'm going to the ER a lot this week. Maybe we should just give them formula. Mm-hmm. Donor milk's going to be $25,000. Well, guess what's not? Formula. So maybe we should just do that.
Yeah.
You know, rather than like, well, this is the idea I had, so I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think being a little more accepting of your body's opinion, your individual circumstances, your baby's opinion would help all of us.
Also, you know? That Brezza formula machine, really.
Hashtag
Sarah's code, hashtag Sarah. Yeah,
it's not a sponsor, but man, you press that button, it fills it up.
You know, we never got that, and I'm sad. We're mixing
I'm sad for
the
you.
Old school way. Yeah. The old school.
I don't think I could have done
that. We're not shaking the swirl family.
No one even, I had never even heard of it till the girls were like a year old, and this nanny was like, oh, you don't have the instant machine? And I was like, what is that?
Like an instant machine.
Yeah,
no one told me.
How many ounces? It mixes it and heats it already for you.
Wow. Look well, at mommies. It go. I loved sitting with you today.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us
here. It was beautiful. Where can the people find you online to follow? And if you have anything you want to plug that's coming up?
You can follow me at PT Bond. And yeah, I think on the platforms.
On the platforms.
On all the places. Love.
And I'm at Joey No Good on Instagram, but Neural Farrell on TikTok.
Yes. Follow Joey if you want, like, funny and educational, mm-hmm. and really just everything. Mm-hmm. She kind of hits all the marks for me. She's one of my favorite TikTok follows.
100%.
Becky is my most active mutual because we both love reading TikTok all the time. Yeah. Love the love. But, you know, I don't have it ready yet, but as an autistic parent of autistic kids, I'm going to try to put together a lot more free resources for people, you know, once your kid gets out of the breastfeeding phase and maybe a pediatrician notices something or an educator notices something. We're going to have some resources for parents who are trying to help their neurodivergent kids.
Rad. I love that. And when that comes to fruition, you are 100% coming back here.
Yeah.
We are putting it on the calendar because you need to tell us all more about that because it's so interesting.
I need to come back because I'm obsessed with you all.
I mean, and just period, you need to come back, period.
And I don't think we've ever heard in any iteration the story of you getting yourself diagnosed with autism.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay, let's just put that on the box.
Something to look forward to.
Cool, okay, I manifested this.
I love it. I'm in. Down. And Ray, where can people follow you on the socials?
This is the OG, Arkle. I'm Arkle. I'm mostly on the gram. You know, I love posting photos on the gram. I'm an old millennial.
We love it. We love you for that.
Yeah.
We're all old millennials here.
We are. Let's embrace it.
Yeah. Easy. All of our Gen Alpha kids.
Gen Alpha?
I think they might be beta.
Beta?
We're betas? Ooh,
because
2023... Alpha starts 2010. I feel like 13 years.
Oh, is that what it is?
I thought it was 18 years.
I think it depends, right? Like boomers are really long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gen X is short. It's like, but then millennials are like technically 81 to 1996?
93?
96.
Sound off in the comments. Sound off in the comments.
Doesn't matter. But who knows? Maybe.
Let us know.
Yeah. Alpha beta's funnier.
Yeah.
Beta's funnier.
Beta babies.
Beta babies.
But yeah, maybe they'll be alpha. Who knows? Yeah.
Imagine my older and be like, I'm alpha and you're a beta.
Yeah. They're like, duh.
Well, thank you all for sitting with us. As we said at the top, this was just our experiences with breastfeedings. There are so many other experiences with feeding your babies. So look out into the world. Talk to your friends. Talk to your parents. We should talk more about this. Moms and dads should not have to feel like they're doing something alone. So if you are doing something alone, I hope you felt a little more seen by us today. We see you. We think you're doing a good job. And yeah. we should do this again. I was going to say we'll see you next time, but this is kind of one off. I was like, maybe we'll do another mommy chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, over drinks.
Oh my God, a mommy happy hour. Because
you don't have to pump and dump anymore, Rebecca.
Girl, I never pumped. I pumped and I saved. So we got baby bath water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Baby bath water.
For all
bags.
The rashes.
Yeah, for the rashes.
Or for my eternal youth.
I'm in. Down. She can have the bath water. All right, everyone, make sure you're washing your hands, peeing after sex, be nice to yourself, be nice to your servers, and Fed is best.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yo!
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.